Hello, and welcome to the CogsCast. This is Adam West, and I'm here today with...
Teresa Kikuchi.
All right, Teresa, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I am in cognitive systems, second year at UBC, and it's pretty lit.
What stream are you in?
I'm in brain and cognition.
What got you into cogs?
Okay, so I was in engineering because in high school I did a bunch of STEM, and I was robotics captain for 2 years, and I was like, yeah, engineering sounds really cool, and I was super into it. You know, I had like a red. I have patches on the red, and I was really douchey too. I was like, yeah, engineering. And then I realized engineering really fucking sucks. Oh shit, can I swear?
Yeah, we'll bleep it out.
I'm so sorry. Anyways, yeah, like halfway through second year, so first year engineering is like general, and then second year you get to like major in things, and I couldn't really choose a major, so I chose integrated engineering, which is kind of like you major and minor in different engineering fields. So I was doing that, and because I thought, oh, I can get a taste of different engineering fields like mechanical, civil, whatever, and then hopefully specialize and find something I like. I hated all of it. And I was just like laying in bed second term, just like watching TED Talks for like 3 hours. I missed like almost all my classes that day, and I was just super sad and like, what am I doing with my life kind of thing. And I realized that all my TED Talks were basically about cognitive systems or like psychology and stuff. And then I was like, wait a second.
Maybe I'm in the wrong program.
Yeah, exactly. So then I did a bunch of research, and I applied to Switch, and I got in, like, literally, I applied that day, and that was the last day I could get in. So it was, like, quite lucky, actually, how it kind of fell into place.
Very happenstance.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that's how I got in.
So you mentioned your interest in robotics. Do you feel like you can explore that more with COGS?
Yeah, because robotics... it's super cool. There's a lot of different parts to it. There's obviously the mechanical and the electrical, but software is really, I don't know, it's like the brains, right, of the operation. And there's always that argument between like hardware and software, right? Like, what's more important? Both. You need both.
You mean that embodied cognition?
Yeah. But I was definitely for like, until I got into COGS, I was very biased towards like, software being more important than hardware, and got into fights with people. But what drew me into COGS from my like engineering background was like understanding how these like mechanical tools can be used for not just as tools, but as like actual, I don't know, beings or whatever.
Yeah, kind of having affordance structures so that you can have interactions within the environment and create designs for the hardware.
Yeah, kind of. It's almost like having a mecha instead of you being in the mecha, you would have just like it would be its own entity too, but you'd be super powerful and stuff.
You'd ride on its back.
Yeah. Oh, dreams.
Goals. So that would be like your primary interest in COGS as robotics, or would you extrapolate that more?
Well, I kind of moved away from that into more, or like it led me into the avenue of like AI and stuff, and right now I've been kind of exploring creativity and AI, as well as like virtual reality and perception.
Could you explain how AI and creativity are linked?
Oh boy.
I mean, there are a lot of ways, but I want to hear your perspective.
Yeah, well, right now for COGS 300 I'm doing my final term project on it. And we're just, like, exploring the idea of creativity in the first place and why it's important to explore it in the first place. And it's a group project. We basically have this analogy that, you know, what's the difference between, like, WALL-E and the Mars rover? And WALL-E, he can do all these different things. He's very adaptive. He has values. He can prioritize things. and the Mars rover is really slow and just really chill. And but he's just missing this important part of problem solving, and me and my partner believe that to be like creativity, because you need creativity to help for problem solving, especially for more autonomous things. Like, I think that's an essential feature of intelligence that needs to be inside autonomous things in order for it to, I don't know, truly be, I don't know, an AI, whatever general intelligence is.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Kind of like Google's Daydream AI, where it's intelligent, but it's assisting us in our intelligence rather than it being an autonomous agent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were exploring in Cog 302, like the idea of like tools and collaborators. Like, are they just like really, because right now, like Google's, is it Daydream? I thought it was Deep Dream.
Deep Dream, not yeah. Daydream.
Yeah, but Google's Deep Dream is very much like really fancy Photoshop. Like,
right.
Really, yeah. Really fancy. But you're still putting inputs and you're getting really cool outputs that like now the algorithm has a bit more say than you do, but you're still like, here, I want to make Adam's face appear in like Starry Night, you know, like.
It's funny because I actually have done that. We'll throw up a photo for the podcast.
That's beautiful.
Oh yeah, gorgeous. Take that in.
Yeah, and it's like, it was a really interesting conversation, because then it's like, well, if they are collaborators, then would they get paid, you know, like who gets the money in the end, right? Because you know, if I was like working with you on a project, we'd, you know, split it. But if it was like a artificial being, would the people who created the algorithm for that being like get money, or like,
yeah, that's an interesting kind of segue to income inequality and how when automation is so prevalent and it's becoming more prevalent in society, how are we going to adapt our structures to kind of accommodate that?
It's
an interesting challenge. So you mentioned VR and perception. What kind of areas are you interested in that? Like, what got you into it?
Well, I actually just got hired at the Bar Lab.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. We're working on doing eye tracking in VR and exploring whether like perception is the same in VR, or is it different? Like, how do things change when you're in VR?
That's the Brain Attention and Reality Lab at UBC, right?
Yeah. And it's very, like, because I was working at Emerging Media Lab on campus, it was really cool seeing people have such different reactions to VR. Like, some people, there's this height simulator where you're kind of walking on this plank that's simulated to be like 100 stories in the air or whatever, and you'll have people who are like, yeah, whatever, this is fake, goes to the end of the plank. But then you'll have people who actually are freaking out, sweating, crying, like screaming. This one girl was like crawling on the plank, and like it just got so bad that she actually just like moved the plank away and just like crawled on the floor. But she's like, you know, it's the floor, you know, you're safe, but you're still having these really intense like reactions. And I thought that was just really interesting, like how you can fake and it says a lot about how we perceive things too, like
how we can kind of accept our perceptions. And like the more immersive an environment can be, the more we can accept these kind of false realities.
Yeah.
So what are you working on at the Bar Lab right now?
Yeah, so right now we're doing, they told me to keep it like hush-hush, but basically it's just like fancy eye tracking for VR.
Hey, nice. That's actually a huge area right now.
Yeah.
You guys could hella get bought out.
Yeah, no, that's what they were saying. That's why they were like, hush-hush. Okay.
All right, scrap that segment. Cool, yeah. So ever since you got into COGS, have your interests changed at all, or has there been just like an overarching theme to kind of like what you enjoy?
Do you ever have something click and you have a bit of like a, dang, okay, like things fit together. Yeah. Uh-huh. So what was really cool about COGS is having these aha moments, because COGS is so interdisciplinary and just very interconnected, and that's like where for me, where it's at.
Totally.
Seeing how something from this seemingly random part of psychology connects to, like, so many different aspects of your life and things like that. And especially when it comes to, like, I've always been a very curious person. So that's why I got into physics and biology and chemistry and stuff is the natural sciences are really good at explaining how the world physically works, right? And it was so exciting to, like, back in my high school, we would do experiments where you'd do all these theoretical, like, calculations and then actually, like, do the experiment and have it work. And that, like, blew my mind and stuff. But then I realized that engineering isn't really like that. So what got me going for COGS was people are so much more complicated. And, like, I guess, yeah, sorry, rambling right here, but with the natural sciences, we kind of know how a lot of it works. Like, you have equations. Like, it's very set in stone. Like, gravity will make things fall. But, like, people kind of aren't like that whatsoever. Yeah. But they also are in some ways, too. So it's really interesting seeing how different and unique we are, but also how not we...
Yeah, it's hard to put a person in a set equation. We are so variable. Kind of like the weather, you know, you can't really track the weather because it's always changing.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, you can kind of, like, probability and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So we still have weathermen.
Yeah. So I've always had a knack for, like, wondering why or figuring out why things work the way they do. And so my overarching interests haven't changed. Like, I'm also really interested in creation. Like, I'm into visual art and making music videos and hobbies and things like that. So it's nice to, like, explore my hobbies in a psychological lens too. Like, why do I draw like this? Why is, like, for creativity and AI, I've been talking a lot with Steve DiPaolo at SFU, and he does a lot of work with creativity. And he was basically saying how paintings are just, how you look at a painting, how you read it, isn't free will. It's they're, like, painting a design to, like, make you look at certain places and things like that. And, like, how art isn't actually, like, these things. And I was just sitting there like, oh my God, all my art is a lie.
Like, how rules of composition are just really human-centered and how we're always kind of drawn to that.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you currently pursuing in terms of art?
Like, hobby-wise, oh, I guess this is, I don't know, a little off tangent, but I kind of went into this realization that, like, college has kind of sucked the fun out of life. And, like,
I feel that.
Yeah. And, like, I was looking back at how much stuff I did as a kid. Like, I did a lot of stuff. And, you know, which is nice because it means I was, like, very productive with my time. But now those were the things that made me, you know, like making music videos and drawing art and comics and things like that and hanging out with friends. What is a social life now? Yeah, but recently, what I would like to get out of the work I've been doing with, or work I'm going to do at SFU with Steve DiPaolo is, like, explore emotion in art and how... basically, the project is... So, you know how it's really hard to describe what you're feeling? Like, to someone, it's like, oh, I'm feeling these things, but kind of, I don't know. Apparently, what they've been trying to figure out is, can we visualize feelings? Like, can we have, like, a weird spectrum? Like, instead of having number 1 through 10, positive, negative, can we have, like, colors and textures describe, like, oh, I'm feeling, like, blue with some scratchy marks and, like, dots, which correlates to so-and-so feelings? And it would be really cool if I could, like, take whatever I learned from this research and, like, create art like that. Like, I was thinking of doing people watching kind of things where I kind of just sneakily film people or take photos of people doing their own thing and then, like, abstract that and, like, put colors on top of it to see if I could, like, correspond it to whatever their body language is trying to show and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Kind of a structured biofeedback project. Yeah, that's really cool.
It would be really fun. Yeah, you should be a model.
Oh, I thank you. I'm just a disembodied voice, actually. I don't have a body.
I knew it.
So do you feel like COGS has helped you kind of pursue these passions? Or
oh, for sure. Like, what's been You know, like, what I really love about COGS right now is, so you have all these interests and stuff from when you're a kid, and you're like, how the fuck do I make money? And, like, I don't know if I'd actually make a lot of money, but, you know, research is, you know, something. But it's comforting to know that, like, the hobbies and interests I had when I was younger can be applicable and very useful, actually. Like, Steve was saying how he works with a lot of computer scientists and stuff, and they don't really have a good eye for art.
Throwing shade at all the comp sci people.
No, I don't mean it like that, but, like, yes. yeah, but he was saying how, like, nice it is to have, like, someone a bit more multidisciplinary, and, like, not to pat my own back, but, like, it's nice to know that my skills were useful, you know? Like, it's nice to know that I wasn't just wasting my time, like, drawing in my room alone.
Time you enjoy wasted is not wasted time. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I love the cornerstone of COGS being so interdisciplinary and being able to connect all these areas together.
Yeah.
It is very much a eureka moment, but, like, a eureka major, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I really enjoy about it. It's like, you'll see someone doing something, you're like, I know why they're doing that.
I know how to connect all that.
Yeah, and it's so funny because it's a major that's really easy to, like, gush about too. Like, whenever I'm just hanging out with my friends and we're just, like, talking about stuff, it's really easy to just ramble on about, you know, COGS.
No, it sounds like you're very successful in terms of pursuing your passions in the sense that you actually are getting paid, one, which is the most important thing in a way. But also enjoying your work, which is something that a lot of people can't say.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, yeah. I guess, like, when I switched out engineering, that was, like, my biggest fear. It was, like, you know, engineering is secure, right? And it's, like, you're going to make mad bank if you're an engineer and stuff like that. But, you know, I wasn't happy. So when I told my parents I was going to make the switch, they're really supportive about it. I was pretty surprised. And it's just really nice to know, like, have these opportunities arise and then just reaffirm that, like, I made the right choice.
Like, so you've had all these opportunities, but has there been any institutions or groups behind you to kind of support this?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up, Adam. So there's, I'm part of AMS Game Development Association, and I direct the VR division, which is right now, for next year, we're going to dissolve that and just make it just one big game development association. But that's what got me into Unity and making video games. And I was never, like, growing up, I could only play Mario because my parents were really not into killing games and stuff, like shooters. So I kind of missed out on this whole big genre of, like, storytelling and things like that. But now it's been super lit because you're just, it's storytelling, it's virtual environments, it's art. It's like so fun to just learn and play around with. And I've also part of this amazing group called IMOL. And they're pretty cool too.
What is IMOL?
That's a really good question.
I don't even think that people at IMOL can answer that.
I know. but it's just a really supportive group of people that I don't know how to describe.
IMOL, in a legal sense, is an arts and technology cooperative, and what they do is kind of explore areas around AI, neuroscience, virtual reality, augmented reality, and that type of stuff.
Yeah, and what's really nice is it's just, like, a really good community, too, to just geek out, like, D&D and things like that. And I, last summer, was, like, exploring the whole idea of making psychology more digestible, or VR, the intersection between VR and, like, psychology more digestible. So me and Yana, who is also a part of IMOL, we're working on, like, webcomics, and, like, we would basically, like, read a research article and, like, summarize it in webcomic form.
That's really cool.
I have one about the overview effect.
Overview effect. Can you briefly explain what that is?
So when you're, like, an astronaut in outer space, you have this psychological shift where you just become so in love with Earth. Like, not, you see how Earth is just a whole, like, just united. Mm. There are no borders. There are no, there's no like race discrepancy. Like it's just Earth.
Everyone
in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so astronauts report feeling a lot more like altruistic. They feel a lot more tied in with Earth and like the universe and things like that.
I'm getting chills right now.
Yeah, no, it's a really cool phenomenon. And then they were exploring that at SFU in VR, immersing them in space, seeing Earth from this view. Would it have the same feelings? And they actually did have reports of goosebumps and like hair standing on your arms and things like that, and chills, which is really nice. I don't know if it's like a long term effect, but you know, it's something like just
humble
the fuck down, you know?
Yeah, definitely. That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's nice to have like IMAL to support like these kinds of, I don't know, trial and error. Like, oh, you know, if the webcomic thing isn't the right medium, like maybe YouTube videos or podcasts, you know? Like, it's just nice to have like this group of people to just go, hey, what if we did this?
Yeah, you can find IMAL at imol.io. That's EYEMOLE.io or IMAL on their Facebook page. I'm plugging because I am also a part of that.
Yeah, no, it's a fun group. Join.
Yeah, join. If you're interested in cool things and you're a cool person and you like hanging out with cool people. Is there anything else you'd like to say? If there's advice you could give to yourself or anyone looking at COGS right now.
Follow your heart. Like, honestly, like, really, if you're, you know, we're all just kind of in university, lost, and like, lots of existential crises of what we should do with our futures. And it's really important to remember your child, your inner child, like really what makes you giggle and what makes you laugh and what makes you shamelessly you, and really pursue that. And like maybe this is just luck or coincidence for me, but once I started doing that, things kind of started falling into place. Like these opportunities just kind of arose because I was already, I had set myself up in a position to have these opportunities come to me, you know, if that makes any sense. Like if I had stayed in engineering and did not do this, I would not be here right now, right? So I think it's really important to like stay true to your heart. You know,
be humble, stay true to yourself.
Yeah, it's hard, but you know, YOLO. Seriously, it's like really cheesy, but you do only live once, so might as well enjoy the fuck out of it.
Yeah, we only have so much time on this planet.
Yeah, like don't live anyone else's life.
So have no regrets. Cool. This has been your COGSCast with Adam West and
Teresa Kikuchi.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.